I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of John in chapter number 19 will be our text. I sure do appreciate you coming to the house of the Lord this evening. For those of you that are regulars here at Harmony Baptist Church, thank you so much for being in your place and supporting the home meeting. We appreciate you putting this jubilee on and having us in. And for those of you that are visiting, God bless you. We thank you for coming tonight and participating and taking a night out of your week to come and encourage us and be encouraged and get something from the Word of God. You've been sitting for several minutes. I'm going to let you stand and stretch your legs tonight just while we read our several verses of our text. John chapter number 19, if I may, I would like to read the first 13 verses of the text, if we could, tonight. Verse number 1 of John chapter 19, if you found your place with me in your Bible, somebody say amen. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Several times Pilate gives this admonition to this crowd that is severely bent on seeing blood spilt, that there is no fault in Jesus. May I say tonight, I have been around the Lord for a good while now, and I echo the sentiments of Pilate. I find no fault in him. Now, if you followed me around for a 24-hour period, you can find a whole lot of fault in Cody Zorn. If I followed you around for a 24-hour period, I could find a whole lot of fault in you. But I've followed the Lord around now for a good long while, and I'll be honest, I've never found any fault in him. I find no fault in his word. I find no fault in his ways. I find no fault in him tonight. Verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." May I say, the Jesus that has been perpetrated on us through the news media and through paintings and pictures many times is not the Jesus of the Bible, Preacher Thacker. The Jesus that was portrayed by some weirdo, some hippie homo way back in the 70s on Jesus Christ Superstar, is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible was a real man. He was a man that grew up for 18 years working in a carpenter's shop. He had calluses on his hands, and he had tan olive skin and dark hair. And the first men that he ever called into the ministry were just old blue collar, leathered up, calloused hand fishermen tonight. Jesus was a real man, friend. Verse 6, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But just like the Bible said, like the lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. According to Isaiah 53, Jesus gave him no answer. Verse 10, then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. Notice the text. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go," watch it, "thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. I'm interested in verse 12 where the Bible said The crowd, the angry mob, looks at Pilate and said, "If you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." I'm preaching tonight on this thought. I'm preaching on, I'll be a friend to Jesus. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. I find as we study the Gospels and read the accounts from Gethsemane's garden all the way through this mock sham of a trial and up to the cross, we find up to this point in the Scripture, it has been quite a wild night for the Lord of glory, for our Savior, the only perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been quite a eventful night, if you will. Just the night prior to our text, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was normally to be found many times praying and talking to his Father. While Jesus was in that garden and praying in such earnest and agony, you know the story. The Bible says, out of the darkness come soldiers from the chief priests with their swords, with their staves, with their weapons of armament and warfare, and they literally kidnapped Jesus at spear point. They kidnapped Jesus without due process, without the crowd being around, under cover of darkness to be able to cover up their shameful deed, and against due process of the law, they come and they bind Jesus and hold him like some sort of common, everyday run-of-the-mill thief in the marketplace and drag him off in the night hours to the high priest's house. When they get to Caiaphas' house, the Bible said they shamefully entreated him. They lied on him, and even their lies did not agree one to the other. And when their lies could not agree one with the other, they began to slap him in the face. The only perfect man to ever live had men walk up and slap him in the face and spit in his face, and spit ran down his beard, and his lips popped and bursted forth as they popped him over and over and over. From Caiaphas Hall, they lead him from that palace on to Pilate's. When they get to Pilate's in the early, early morning hours, they begin to represent their case. And Pilate, listening to the case, sees that there's nothing he can do. He says, "He's not even from my jurisdiction. Take him down to Herod. He's from that jurisdiction." They take him from Pilate's down to Herod's. When they get to Herod's place, they find nothing worthy of death in him either. And so they just mock him. They put the purple robe on him and put a scepter in his hand and bow down and mock him and worship him in the most sadistic of ways. Then they send him back to Herod's house, or Pilate's house. From Herod's back up to Pilate's. Pilate just can't get rid of Jesus. I mean, he keeps trying to get rid of Jesus, but he just keeps coming back to him. May I say tonight, you can't get rid of Jesus tonight, friend. You may be able to walk out of a church service and leave him here. You may be able to get away from the preacher. You might be able to get away from the singers. You might be able to get away from mama. You might be able to get away from daddy, but I promise he'll track you down. And may I say, whether in this world or the next, you will have a head-on collision with Jesus in the world to come. The Bible said you'll stand before him, not as Savior, but as the God of heaven and as the judge of this universe. And you will bow your knee under submission to the God of heaven before he pitches you off into a lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth tonight. And he sends him back to Pilate. Pilate being the quintessential politician, Preacher Agin. He's the epitome of what politicians are. He wants to make everybody happy. Don't make this crowd mad. Don't make this crowd mad. So the Jews want blood. That's what they want. They want some blood. So let's give them blood if they want blood. And we want to release Jesus eventually. But we've got to do something to appease this foaming at the mouth, rabid crowd. So the Bible said they take Jesus, Preacher Bolin, and they scourge him. They literally tie him down over a stump. That's what the scourging process was. Taking out that vicious whip, the cat of nine tails, they begin to lay stripe after stripe on the back of our dear Savior as the flesh rolled back like a scroll and the blood splattered on those that were laying the stripes on, and the blood splattered on those that were standing around mocking and laughing and jeering and cheering and pointing
And if that was not bad enough, when they stand him up, they stick the purple robe of shame on him, and the purple robe mats into the blood. If that were not bad enough, then they take those hard crown of thorns and put it down on his head, and they smack it with a rod until the thorns pop down into his brow and the blood rolls down his face. And they begin to buffet him and to smack him again with their hands. And Pilate brings him out and stands him up before this crowd. Get a good look, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the man. Get a good look, ladies and gentlemen. The stripes were for you. Get a good look, ladies and gentlemen. The beating was for you. He was not standing there. He was not beaten, bruised, battered, and bloodied because of any sin he had done. He wasn't standing there beaten, bruised, battered, and bloodied because of any wrong he had done. But the stripes were laid on for your sin, and the stripes were laid on for my sin. He wasn't standing there because he was a criminal. He wasn't standing there because he was a sinner. He was standing there because you're a criminal. He was standing there because you're a sinner. And the prophet said, by those stripes we are healed. I say, behold the man. Get a good look at him. There he stands tonight for you and for me. While he stands there in his open shame, Pilate seeks to release him. Pilate wants to get rid of this man. He hears this. He hears somebody say, this guy said he's the Son of God. Pilate's got the shakes now. I mean, Pilate's really in deep now. You say Pilate didn't believe he's the Son of God. He must have believed something, because the Bible said immediately when he heard he was the Son of God, he pulled Jesus back off into a private place and he said this, "Whence art thou?" Pilate knows where he's from. He just sent him down to Herod's jurisdiction. He knows he's from Galilee. He knows he's from Herod's jurisdiction. Pilate is not asking him a question geographically and horizontally. Pilate is asking him, are you really from out yonder? Are you really God's son? Jesus gives him no answer. And immediately the Bible says when Pilate heard all that, he sought to release him. Pilate goes out and he says, come on now, we've done enough. Let's release this guy. I want to get rid of this guy. My wife's having bad dreams because of him. Go read Matthew. His wife suffered things in a dream because of this man. I think he might be the Son of God. I mean, he's taken the beating and he ain't even opened his mouth. He hasn't railed again. He hasn't tried to fight you. I mean, let's just let him go. And about that time somebody says this, if you that guy's friend, you ain't Caesar's friend. And there's no way to be his friend and be Caesar's friend. There's no way to be Caesar's friend and be Jesus' friend. You've got to make a choice today, Pilate. You've got to draw your line in the sand and step across and make your mind up. You can't straddle a fence no longer. I know you've tried to grab a hold of both crowds and keep them, but Pilate, here comes the time to step across the line and be counted one way or the other. Either you're with Jesus or you're with Caesar. Either you're with this guy who's a carpenter from Galilee. You're with this guy who went about doing good. You're with this guy who went about preaching and healing and touching folk and making a difference in their lives. You're with this guy that's been beaten. You're with this guy that's got the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Or else you're with Caesar. Or else you're with this fellow over here that thinks he is a god. This guy over here is God. This guy thinks he is a god. Either you're with Jesus or you're with Caesar. You're with the silk smooth hands of Caesar that can give you temporary pleasure, or you're with the rough calloused hands of the carpenter of Galilee who can give you eternal life and eternal joy. And in that instant, in that moment when Pilate had to make a choice, when the rubber met the road, when everybody was watching, Pilate made the worst choice that he could ever make in his life. When he heard them say, you can't be a friend of both, Pilate walked back around, sat down in the judgment seat, which means he's about to give his ruling, sits down in the judgment seat and says, crucify him. Crucify him. And I wonder to myself, Preacher Thacker, I want to grab Pilate and say, Pilate, What has Caesar ever done for you that you would forsake the Son of God and take Caesar? I mean, Pilate, what has Caesar ever done for you? All Caesar's done for you is give you some money in your pocket. He's give you some sex in your bed. He's give you some power. He's give you some prestige. He's give you a few houses. He's give you some horses to ride. He's give you some lands and some vineyards. He's made you some temporary friends. He's got you held up with the social elite. But what's he ever really done for you? Has he give you, good God, has he give you peace in your heart? Has he give you joy in your life? Has he provided that joy unspeakable and full of glory? May I say, Pilate, this guy over here has been good to you. You say, what's this guy ever done for me? He give you breath in your body. Every time your heart beats, it is his power that keeps it beating. He's the one that put the sun in the heavens, put the moon in the night sky, makes the birds fly, makes the stars twinkle, makes the rivers flow, makes the world spin. He's God in the flesh. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Listen to what I'm telling you. The choice of Pilate echoes down through the corridors of time and lands in your lap tonight. The choice of Pilate now lands in the middle of your lap and in your pew 2,000 years later. Behold the man. Here he is, sir. Here he is, ma'am. The bruised Son of God. The blood-aged Son of God. There he stands. Get a good look. And either you are his friend or you are a friend of the world. Either you are his friend or you are a friend of your flesh, and you are a friend of your hobbies, and you are more of a friend of this world than you are his. You can't be both. I know some people try and grab a hold of both and think they can have it all, but you got to let go of one or the other. You can't grab both and think you're going to make, you got to have one or have the other. May I say tonight, this God's been good to you. What's Caesar ever done for you, sister? What's this world ever done for you, brother? It's just give you heartache. It's give you pain. It's give you temporary pleasure. It's give you temporary joy. But at the end thereof, the wages of sin is death. May I say, this guy right here, he can give you that much more. He can give you joy unspeakable. He can give you eternal life. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a real friend tonight. May I say, in this darkest hour, when Jesus could use a friend, he doesn't have one. Everybody has left him, and he stands alone. And I would like to publicly and personally say tonight in my message, I'll be a friend to Jesus. You do what you want, but I've made my stand and made my mind up a long time ago. I'll be a friend to Jesus. I've been preaching 15 minutes. Let me give you a couple more and we're going to go. I want to show you three types of friends that precede the cross that lead up to this event. Three types of friends, and you find yourself in one of these friends tonight. You are one of these types of friends. Let me say, firstly, Jesus has a lot of forsaking friends. There's a forsaking friend in the text. I'll not have you turn there, but all the way back in Matthew in chapter number 26, as Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said Judas had betrayed him to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver, sold out Jesus for 30 measly pieces of silver, equating to just a few $100 in today's worth. And the Bible said when they came to get Jesus in the garden, in verse number 49, forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, Jesus says to Judas, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Judas is the forsaken friend. Judas is the sort of friend that'll sell Jesus out for a dollar bill. Judas is the sort of friend that'll sell Jesus out for temporary pleasure, for the here and now. Judas is the sort of friend that'd rather have good things here than good things yonder. Judas is the sort of friend that some of y'all are tonight. Why, this low-down, good-for-nothing, sorry skunk that Judas is. I mean, he sold Jesus out with just 30 pieces
pieces of silver. I mean, he had sat by campfires and listened to the Son of God speak. He had sat on mountain peaks and heard the Lamb of God preach the word. He had watched blinded eyes open. He had watched lepers cleansed. He had watched deaf ears hear. He had watched dead men get up and walk. He had seen lame people leap. He had seen the sick healthy. He had seen sinners saved. He had seen storms calmed. Brother, and when it got right down to it, Judas said, none of that matters to me. I'd rather have my 30 pieces of silver than I had be friends with Jesus. I mean, Jesus had been good to Judas. Jesus had let him walk with him and talk with him and be a part of his hand-picked few. May I say tonight, you ain't no better than Judas. Some of you low down, sorry, good for nothing, rotten snake, good for nothing, rotten scum. God's been good to you. God put clothes on your back. God put shoes on your feet. God put food in your belly. God put gas in your car. God put money in your pocket. God put breath in your body. God's give you a home. God's give you a family. And when the heat gets on, you'll drop Jesus like a bad habit. I mean, when they offer you a joint, you'd rather have a joint than Jesus. When they offer you a snort, you'd rather have a snort than Jesus. When they listen to their music, you'd rather have the music than Jesus. I know what I'm talking about tonight. I'm telling you, some of you are forsaken friends. You ain't a real friend. When a better deal comes along, you'll drop Jesus and take up your better deal. You say, no, I'm a real Christian. Okay, let us look at your Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter page tonight, and we'll find out if you're a real friend or a forsaken friend tonight. I mean, I'm shocked. Can I just pause and preach right here for a minute? Let me clear myself off a little spot, and let me go to preaching here. Hey, some of y'all come into church, act dignified and spiritual, and oh, how I love Jesus. And if we was to pull up your social media, it says anything but you love Jesus. I mean, one post you post a Bible verse, and the post before that you put every dirty four letter word in the book in there, putting every lyric from every dirty song you ever heard, I mean quoting Beyonce and Eminem, I mean putting everybody, every harp from hell that you can throw in there. I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to be a friend of Jesus, you got to go all in with him. The Bible said in James 4:4, ye adulteresses and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity of God? Therefore, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't be a friend with both. You got to take one or the other tonight. Judas is the forsaking friend. I got to hurry. Not only do we see Judas is the forsaking friend, but secondly, we see there are fair weather friends. Not only is there forsaken friends, but there are fair weather friends. In John chapter number 15, just a few chapters before our text tonight, Jesus is meeting with his disciples in an upper room, and he is speaking to them and giving them warnings of what will happen after he leaves. Jesus says this to his disciples. This is Peter and James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew and Thaddeus and Matthew and so on and so forth. John chapter 15, verse number 14, he says this: ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Peter and this crowd, they are the fair weather friends. They're the friends, Brother Thacker, that as long as everything is good, they're a friend of Jesus. As long as everything is smooth sailing, they'll be Jesus' friend. But when everything goes to hell in a handbasket, I mean when problems and burdens of life really start, they'll forsake him in a heartbeat. See, the Bible said this in this upper room. Jesus begins to tell them that he's going to die. Peter said, no, Lord, we ain't going to let it happen. Jesus looks at Peter and said, let me tell you something, Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, Lord, I won't deny you. As a matter of fact, I'll take it one step further. Lord, I will die with you. Pretty strong words. And the Bible said this, likewise also said they all. It wasn't just Peter that said, I'll die with you. It was all of them said they'd die with him.
They all said, you know what, Pete? That sounds good to us. That's right, Jesus, we with Pete. We all going to die with him. Ain't that right, Thad? Ain't it right, Matt? Yep, we all going to die with you, Lord. If it comes to it, worse come to worse, we all going to die with you. You read that same chapter where they all make that assertion that they'll die with him. We don't go one full chapter. As a matter of fact, we only go about 15 or 20 verses, and the Bible says this, and they all forsook him and fled. I mean, when they come into that garden, had them spears and had them swords, and those dark shadowy figures was lit up by those torches and candles that they come carrying out into the dark hour. I mean, brother, when the heat really got on, they said, you know what? Being a friend of Jesus was fun and all. Being a friend of Jesus was cool and all. I mean, when we was out there in the daylight and all the crowds was around and everybody was there, I mean, when everybody was there to pat us on the back and tell us what good Christians we was and how fun it was cool to be a friend of Jesus. But I mean, now in the dark, now when the heat's really got on, it ain't so cool no more. I mean, that's the way some of y'all are. I mean, you all about Jesus and you a friend of the Lord's until tragedy strikes your life, until poverty strikes your life, until sickness strikes your life, until burden strike your life. Then you realize, hey, it ain't always fun to be a friend of Jesus. It ain't always cool to be a friend of Jesus. Sometimes you got to pick your cross up and walk with Jesus in tough places. Old Peter, he gets out there by the enemy's fire, and when he starts to get around some other people, they say, you want them Jesus guys, ain't you? He said, no, I don't know that guy. And never met him, don't know him. They said, no, you're a Jesus fella, and this is why we think you're a Jesus guy. Check this out. Because your speech betrays you. Peter had been walking with the Lord for so long, he couldn't even talk without his words giving him away. He didn't talk like he used to. He didn't speak like he used to. Brother Allen, I believe he was around that fire when he was warming himself up. Somebody'd say something and old Peter'd say, glory to God. They'd say, we don't talk like that around here. That speech is a long ways from the way we talk. We say some things, but it ain't like that. Old Peter said, no, I'm sorry. Ain't what I meant. He'd be warming himself. He'd say, amen. Amen. We don't talk like that around here. You know what? I think you want them Jesus guys, your speech. Right? And he said, hey, if it's my speech betraying me, let me just remove all doubt. And he said, blankety blank blank, I don't know that blankety blank man. And when he said that, boy, Jesus looked on Peter and he wept bitterly. Peter realized, I've been a fair weather friend. I realize I've been just a good friend when it's convenient, just when it's fun. May I say, if you're going to be Jesus' friend, you just can't do it when the sun's shining. You got to do it when the rain comes down and when the storms blow in. Jesus needs some true blue friends. Real friends are hard to come by. Boy, real friends are hard. I mean, real friends that'll be with you the whole way, they're hard to come by. Like a story I heard one time about these four buddies. They all went hunting one time. And when they got to where they was going to go hunting at, two of them went this way and two of them went this way. And the two that went one way, they was hunting out there. And when everything kind of hours and hours passed, they're supposed to meet back up at camp. Two of them showed up, and the other two wasn't there. And about that time, here come one of them walking out the woods, and he had his deer over his neck walking back. And them other two boys said, hey, that's a good-looking deer, but where's Henry at? We don't see Henry with you. Where's Henry? He said, well, I think Henry had a stroke. He fell down in the trail. Looks like a stroke to me. And they said, you left Henry back there? We can't believe you left Henry. He said, well, boy, I didn't figure nobody'd steal Henry. That's the way some people are with the Lord. You know, I come back and pick Jesus up when I get time. But I'll take my fun. I'll take my friends. I'll take my pleasure. Some of you kids you get at school, you're a Jesus kid as long as you at church. But when you get back to school, when you get back around your buddies, you don't know the man. You don't even know who he is. You're ashamed of him, ashamed of the Bible, ashamed of your preacher. Say, it ain't, hey, mom and daddy, it ain't no worse for some of y'all. You know Jesus real good while you're here. When you get back on your job and you get back around that crowd that don't know God, you hide under the bushels. I mean, you slide under the table somewhere. They don't know you're a Christian. They don't know you know God. They don't know you love the Lord. I'm talking about Jesus needs some friends. There's forsaken friends. There's fair weather friends.
Lastly, I'm done. I've been preaching long enough. Let me close with this. Lastly, we see there is, I like this, there is a forever friend. There is a forever friend. You say, who's the forever friend? It's in John 15, verse number 12. Jesus is speaking. He says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, here it is. Here's the forever friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Though Judas was the forsaken friend, and though the disciples were the fair weather friends, there's one named Jesus tonight, sir. There's one named Jesus tonight, ma'am, and he is a forever friend. He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Though Pilate messed up and picked the wrong friend, though Peter messed up and went with the wrong friends, though Judas went with the wrong friends, I'm glad there's a Savior that'll never run out on you. There's a Jesus that when everybody else walks out, he'll walk in. When everybody else drops you, he'll pick you up. When everybody else tells you darkest secrets, he'll never tell on you. He's a friend you can count on in a tight spot. He's the one that'll be with you when the closest in your life leaves you. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'd like to present to you tonight a friend. Behold this friend. Here he stands for you. Here he stands with the stripes on his back. Here he stands with the crown of thorns on his head. Here he stands with the purple robe. Here he stands in all apparent shame, and he's your friend tonight. He did it all for you. Died for you, rose for you. He's the best friend you've ever had. Mom and daddy ain't never been a friend to you like this man. Your husband or your wife has never been a friend to you like this man. He's a real friend tonight.
I read somewhere the other day, they said Howard Hughes, at the height of his fortune, was worth $4 billion. And we're talking about years and years ago. We're not even talking about now. That'd be a pile of money now. That'd be more than all of us could spend in a lifetime together if we tried real hard. $4 billion. And this is what Howard Hughes told somebody when they interviewed him. He said this, Brother Keith. He said, I would give it all away for just one real friend. He said, I'd give it all away if I could just have one real friend. Oh, I wish somebody had been standing by that knew this friend. I wish somebody had been standing by and could have took a Bible, run to him and said, here, Howard, let me introduce you to a real friend. Let me introduce you to a friend. He ain't after your money. Let me introduce you to a friend. He ain't after your fame. Let me introduce you to somebody that he'll love you when nobody else will love you. He'll care for you when nobody else will. He'll be there when everybody else is gone. You say, preacher, Jesus wouldn't want to be my friend. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how shameful I've been. Jesus wouldn't take me. Jesus wouldn't be my friend. You're wrong. You're wrong. I'll tell you what kind of people Jesus will be friends with. Right after this, when they said crucify him, they took him to the top of Golgotha's hill, and they dropped that cross in a hole in the ground, and he hung there for 6 hours between two thieves on an old rugged cross. And in his dying breath, that thief looked at him and said this, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, will you remember me? I tell you what kind of friend Jesus is. In his dying breath, he looked over at that old dirty thief, that old nasty thief that was getting exactly what he deserved. And he said, son, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm here to tell you there ain't a friend like Jesus. You never met a friend like Jesus. He's the friend above all friends tonight. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all my my soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Tell you, there's a forever friend tonight. And here you have the choice. Here I have presented you the choice. You say, Preacher, I ain't going to make a choice. I ain't making a choice tonight. I'm not making a choice between Jesus and Caesar, between Jesus and my fun, between Jesus and all of my hobbies, between Jesus and my sin, between Jesus and my family, between Jesus and my girlfriend and my boyfriend. I'm not making a choice. No. By not making a choice, you have made your choice. There is no middle ground tonight. There is no way to backwater, crawfish, or straddle the fence this evening. You are with him or you are against him. And tonight, the choice has been presented for your consideration. Behold the man. Here he stands, Brother Eric, Miss Laura. Help me if you would. Behold the man. There he is. He wants to be your friend. And on the other side, Caesar. On the other side, all of the apparent treasure and fun of the world. May I say, you can run with that crowd to your own destruction. Standing somewhere in the shadows will be a forever friend. That he'll take you just like you are, but he won't leave you like he found you. See, some of y'all in here tonight, you know what it's like to have a mama or a daddy walk out on you. Some of y'all in here tonight, you know what it's like to have a husband or a wife break your heart and walk out on you. Some of you in here tonight, you know what it's like for children to break your heart, turn their back on you and leave you. May I say, he ain't like that. I know some of you can't hardly even trust anything anymore because of the way some people have done you in your life that claim to be your friend. I get that. We live in a generation with severe trust issues. They've been wounded and hurt so many times they can't trust anybody. May I say, for those of us that's been walking with this man for a long, long time, he's trustworthy. He said this, he said he's faithful and he's true. And he won't let you down. He's not a forsaken friend. He's not a fair weather friend. He's a forever friend. And you will never have a friend like him. You say, Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I don't know that friend. As a matter of fact, if I had to tell you tonight whose side I'm on, I'm probably standing with Caesar tonight. I'm probably on the world side, the flesh, the devil side. I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ. The friend is here. And he'll take you. He wants to be your friend. Imagine that. Imagine the only perfect individual that ever drew a breath, left all of heaven, come down to this earth and died for me. Why? He wanted to be my friend. I know Cody Zorn. I don't want to be Cody Zorn's friend that bad. He's a rotten, sorry, good-for-nothing individual. I know him. He's good for nothing. Sorry, ain't got hardly any ability, no talent, no name, no fortune. But the God of heaven looked down at little old me and said, I'll be your friend. Some of y'all, when you were yet his enemy, laid out drunk with liquor on your breath and cussing his name, stoned out your mind and hated him and hated his Bible and hated his church. He said, I'll be your friend. I don't care what you've said about me. I don't care what you've done to me. I'll be your friend. I'm done. You listen to me.
Either you accept his friend request tonight. Oh, some of y'all can't wait to run home, check Facebook, see who the latest friend is. Accept that friend. I want that friend. Can I say there's a friend request tonight? There's a friend request tonight. I wouldn't leave him hanging if I was you. For in this life, and this life only, you get the distinct privilege to be his friend. And you're not promised another day. When you draw your last breath, honey, when you draw your last breath, sir, and you meet him in the next life, if you haven't made friends here, you'll be enemies there. You don't make things right when you're dead. You become friends with him and get right with God and get saved while you're living. Tonight, would you be his friend? Hey, Christian, I wonder, are you really his friend? Oh, I know he's yours. Are you his? I mean, are you his friend? Not just a buddy, I mean a friend. Somebody says something about him, it bothers you. Because he's your friend. Are you the kind of friend? I'll be honest with you, I got friends. And I'm not ashamed to introduce any of them to somebody else. Some of y'all with Jesus, you are so ashamed of him, you wouldn't introduce him to anybody. You haven't introduced him to anybody this week. His name comes up, you act like you don't know him. You ain't his friend. I'd like to say I'll be a friend of Jesus. Here he stands right by himself. And he says, I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. Let's all stand tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I ask you to bless the simple message from your word. Speak to our hearts. God, no doubt there is somebody in this building that they have never become your friend. You have showed what kind of friends you are. You've proved it, God. I pray tonight we would accept your friendship. You've extended it to us. Died on a cross, rose again from the dead. All we have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I'll be your friend. Save me. Lord, I wonder tonight if we have somebody in the building that get things settled between you and them. Maybe some Christians in here, they haven't been the friend to you they should be. Tonight, help us to make resolute in our heart and our mind. Once again, we'll be the friend to Jesus that Jesus is to us. Lord, thank you, though I have let you down many times, you've never let me down. Speak now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Won't you come tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're singing and playing. Oh, nobody is Jesus' friend? Would nobody be Jesus' friend? Would you not be Jesus' friend, Christian lady, Christian man? Ask you a question. Say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not his friend tonight. If I had to be honest, I'm probably Caesar's friend. I've never trusted Christ. I've never been saved. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not his friend tonight, but I'd like to be. If you don't know him, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not his friend. Would you slip your hand up right where you stand while nobody but me and the Lord's looking? Say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know the Lord. Christian, I wonder about you tonight. Have you been the friend to him that you should be? Search your heart, search your mind, things you've said today, things you've thought today. Are you his friend? Say, preacher, I believe I've probably hurt him today. Won't you come say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'll be your friend.